Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome into the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey. We'll be highlighting the best time of the year, the college football bowl season, by taking the most detailed look that you will find anywhere. I'm Zach Blackerby with the Locked On Podcast Network, and I will guide you through hearing detailed analysis from experts from our friends at BetQL and Odyssey, as well as some of our local hosts that cover these teams every single day. Expect detailed looks from the Sugar Bowl, Rose, Fiesta, Peach, and of course those semifinal games, the College and Orange Bowls. Today, we are zooming in on the Sugar Bowl, a showdown between the Ole Miss Rebels of the SEC and the Baylor Bears of the Big 12. For our first look at this game, let's go to Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins of Odyssey's The Daily Tip podcast.
Zach, thank you very much. Man, I'm excited about these big-time bowl games because I've been watching things like the Myrtle Beach Bowl, bowls like that. I need some big-time bowl games, and let's start with the Sugar Bowl. Baylor minus 115 on the money line, taking on Ole Miss, minus 105 on the money line at BetMGM. Baylor is laying a point, and the total is set at 54.5, Chelsea. So the total opened at 50.5, so money is pouring in on the over. Baylor, 9-4 against the number this year. Ole Miss, 7-4-1 against the number. How are you leaning here?
Yeah, who doesn't want to bet on an over here? And it's really tempting with this Ole Miss offense. It has looked really prolific at times during the season. But if you look at their scores over the last five games, they haven't been super high scoring. Mississippi State was 31-21, Vandy 31-17, Texas A&M 29-19. So these are looking like NFL scores and not really the scores that we are accustomed to seeing from Ole Miss. Earlier in the season, it was 52-51 against Arkansas. So we do have Matt Corral actually playing in this one, which I think is the most exciting part of this entire bowl game, because most of these quarterbacks were not seeing the big names. So Matt Corral is one of the top tier quarterbacks in all of college football. So we should see some kind of offense from Ole Miss, even though I'm sure Baylor is a top tier defense compared to, you know, some of those teams that they have played as of late, especially Vanderbilt. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
Let's be honest when it comes to Vanderbilt. You know, what's interesting to me about this game is that it opened with the Rebels as a 1.5 favorite, and now it's swung all the way in the other direction where the Bears are laying one. And I wonder if this has anything to do with Jeff Lebby, the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. He is leaving. He is joining Brent Venables at Oklahoma. But it doesn't affect me at all. This is still Lane Kiffin's offense. Lane Kiffin is known for his offenses. And even though Jeff Lebby might be, not be calling the plays here, I feel like Lane can take over, and it doesn't move the needle at all for me as far as worrying about Ole Miss.
Right, and Baylor, I will say, has an excellent run game, and it doesn't really match up well for Ole Miss because they're 102nd in FBS against the run when it comes to their defense. So maybe we will see some points. I keep trying to talk myself into an over because that's really the only thing I want to play in this one. But also, what will we see from Matt Corral? Is he motivated to be here? Is he really excited to put on a show? And I think he is. I think if he didn't want to be here, he would have opted out. And a guy that's really dynamic with his feet and been battling some injuries all season long. So maybe he's 100% healthy with this time off. And maybe we'll see some fireworks from Ole Miss here. So I'm really tempted to take Ole Miss and the over. But talk me off of it. Talk me off of being a square bettor here.
No, I can't. I'm on Ole Miss as well. I think the line moved because of Lebby leaving, and I don't think that affects me at all. When you look at Baylor, you're talking about the 70th-ranked pass defense in the country. I think Matt Corral can pass all over them. And Baylor quarterback Gary Bohannon is expected to play, but he's banged up. He has a hamstring. You were talking about Matt Corral being healthy. He'll probably be healthy. We don't know about Gary Bohannon, so maybe it's the square play, but I think Ole Miss getting a point is a steal, so I'm on the Rebs.
Yeah, so Ole Miss, let's go.
Let's go. Couple of squares. For more, subscribe and follow the Daily Tip wherever you get your podcasts, or you can listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern. It's all on BetQL, your home for wagertainment. Zach, back to you.
Let's now turn our focus to Ryan Horvath, host of BetMGM Tonight, about some interesting betting trends for the Sugar Bowl.
Thanks a lot, Zach. Always looking forward to bowl season, and we get a pretty good matchup here in the Sugar Bowl between Ole Miss and Baylor, two teams that would probably obviously rather be playing in the college football playoff, but this matchup on paper is perfect. You have Baylor, one of the surprise teams in all of college football. The year before, they go 2-7 in conference play. This year, they finish with double-digit wins, 11-2 overall on the season. And if you're a bettor, they've been very, very profitable all season long in the underdog role. They have upset wins over Kansas State. They have an upset win over Iowa State, who I was really high on coming into the season. They were a top 10 team under Matt Campbell. And then they had the big upset victory over Oklahoma. Offensively, you know what they're going to do. They're going to look to run the football. They average more than 225 yards on the ground per game. And defensively, they're solid. They give up less than 20 points per contest. Ole Miss, also a pleasant surprise this season. They win double-digit games in just Lane Kiffin's second season as head coach. Their season win total heading into the year was one of my favorite plays because it was only 7.5. They get 11 wins. They finish with 11 wins this season. A Heisman-like campaign from Matt Corral kind of ran out of steam a little bit there to end the season. But I think the play in this game from a betting standpoint would be the under. Even with a great play caller like Lane Kiffin, the under has been the strong play in games featuring Ole Miss all season long. They've played 12 games, the under 9-3 in those games. Their defense, great down the stretch in SEC conference play. They held their last 7 opponents all under their team total. So you could also look at the team total for Baylor as well. They were a solid bet all season. They outscored their competition by 8.5 points in 2021. My play in this game, I'm staying away from the side, but I do really like the under. So I'd probably play the total, 2 really good defenses. And with the uncertainty, is Matt Corral going to be playing in this game? I think that was the play to make right away. So looking forward to the game between Ole Miss and Baylor. 2 surprise teams. Should be a really good one on New Year's Day.
And, of course, we can't talk about the Sugar Bowl and Ole Miss without mentioning Matt Corral. And, of course, how the NFL draft is going to view a lot of these players in the Sugar Bowl contest. So, introducing Ryan Tracy, host of Locked On NFL Draft.
This absolutely could be the highlight of the playoff experience, the one-on-one matchup that will happen in the Sugar Bowl between Ole Miss and Baylor. It comes down to Matt Corral, a quarterback that has been up and down a little bit, needs to show consistency to really take that mantle of QB1 in this class. I do believe he is in the argument for most teams around the NFL for that number one spot with Kenny Pickett. He is battling Jalen Petrie, who is a safety of experience that can go all over the field. I like him better in the box and in a kind of a robber type level. Can he play deep as well? He can play in coverage. These two guys manage what their offense and their defense respectively can do on the field, and they are the bellwethers as to how their teams perform. It is going to be a head-to-head matchup all day long at the Sugar Bowl, and honestly, this might be the most you're going to see out of both of them. They both have a chance to raise their draft stock. Corral, 2 QB1. For Petrie, can he get into the first day amongst those kinds of conversations around Lewis Cine and Jaquan Brisker? Obviously behind Kyle Hamilton, but obviously also in the conversation to be one of those top picks, a top 32, even in the possibility. There's a lot of variance. And for both these guys, solidifying their performance in the Sugar Bowl is something that can go a long way towards getting them the next step along the draft process that will be confirmed here as we go on through the All-Star games and through the actual evaluation process. Two guys head-to-head all day long that I'm looking forward to at this Sugar Bowl.
More of the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview is next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Let's now hear from some of our local hosts at the Locked On Podcast Network, Stephen Willis of Locked On Ole Miss and John Neighbors of Locked On Big 12, give you another perspective on the Sugar Bowl.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here of Locked On Big 12. Stephen Willis of Locked On Rebels. This is a pretty interesting matchup because this is one of those where each of these teams had really impressive seasons, and nobody feels like they're being snubbed from the college football playoff. Nobody's that concerned about opt-outs. So it's pretty significant, I would say, Stephen, for both programs.
Yeah, it's very, very significant. When you look at these schools, but also Ole Miss is the high-flying offensive team, and the Big 12 team is actually the ground-and-pound, like LSU from 2012 team. So it's a nice stylistic difference between the two teams, and I'm expecting a fairly good game.
Yeah, it's also interesting. You know, Lane Kiffin has had an affinity for former Baylor assistants, right? I mean, he's had Kendall Briles and Jeff Levy, who were both coaches at Baylor, and obviously that's a tumultuous time in Baylor's history. But like you mentioned, that's when Baylor was known for that offense, right? The Briles tree, their offense, one of the more innovative and successful, and still successful right now in the college ranks. So I think that's kind of an interesting wrinkle to this matchup too.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Like Jeff Lebby's actually coaching in the game before he goes to Oklahoma. Right. So that's how personal he is taking that kind of, because he just wants to coach against Baylor. Which I found to be fairly interesting.
Right.
But the weird thing is, this after 5 years, this has kind of become the Lane Kiffin offense. Mm-hmm. Now, they bring the Baylor guys in to install the guts of it, the tempo and things like that, to get in the offense. Then he kind of goes away from it, because after year one at Ole Miss, Randy Clements was on the staff then. Joe John Finley was on the staff. They moved on. They were hired outside of the Baylor tree. So I think mainly the Baylor hire is for install purposes, and then kind of Lane does his own thing with the offense.
Yeah, and that's the other interesting part of this too, is there's two coaches here who were, for different reasons, rumored for head coaching jobs elsewhere. And it's just because of the success they had. I mean, 10-2 at Ole Miss, I know it's a school that aspires, to those heights, but it's really difficult in the SEC West. I mean, that is the toughest division in all of college football. There's no question about that. And what is the first 10-win regular season in program history? Mm-hmm. This game is, in a lot of ways, going to be a celebration of that for Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think so. If Ole Miss wins this game, it's the most games won in a season in Ole Miss history. As storied as they were back in the day. Now, a lot of that is because they played 9 regular season games.
Right.
So whenever they were really good and just would beat everybody, it just didn't matter. They didn't play enough games in the season. But 11 regular season games, the Sugar Bowl, which means so much to Ole Miss fans and the Ole Miss program. I think Ole Miss is in position. This will be third in appearances in the Sugar Bowl history. And maybe if they win the game, they'd be second in wins. The game means a lot to Ole Miss fandom from back in the day, when Ole Miss was going to the Sugar Bowl fairly consistently. So I'm looking forward to see what that means. When I get down to New Orleans, Ole Miss fans are going to party. It's going to be a party. They're going to drink New Orleans dry. So I'm looking forward to that, to see if that bleeds over into the game. How are the players going to react to it? I think they're going to be excited. Like you said, no opt-outs for this game. And with them being that excited, I'm curious, just this could be a really exciting game on both sides, even the Baylor side of the coin. This could be a really well-played and a really exciting, excitement-filled bowl game for a non-playoff game.
Yeah, and that is the one thing also I want to touch on, is the fact that, you know, it's a unique spot because these guys, they're playing. And we saw New Year's Six bowls last year. The big one that comes to my mind was that A&M North Carolina game. I mean, we got a preview of Sam Howell's offense this year because none of the skill players wanted to be involved in that game last year, which was, you know, that was such an fun offense to watch. That's not the case. And I think, do you believe Matt Corral really set the tone for that when he said, no, I'm going to play? Obviously, a guy who is a first-round talent is going to be one of the first, at least in my opinion, three quarterbacks probably taken. I'd say he, Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett are probably the three that you're going to see have a good chance to go in that first round, you know, at least two of those three. Do you think he kind of set the tone with that and everybody else followed suit?
Yeah, I think Matt Corral is probably the greatest leader of a quarterback in Ole Miss history.
Mm.
Whenever he said we all need to get vaccinated, and the whole team got vaccinated. So everything plays off of his decision. He has such a control because he leads by example, and he's such a good player, and he just buys into everything that's going on inside that building, which you don't see in college football very much these days. And it's going to help him whenever he advances to the next level. But yeah, I think it was his decision, and he led those guys down the road because we could have had opt-outs. Last year we had Elijah Moore and Kenny Yeboah opt out of the Outback Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
There could have been easily some outbacks or some opt-outs this year with like Sam Williams and people like that. But no, none of that seems to be happening, mainly because I think this is the Sugar Bowl too. If Ole Miss would have gone to the Peach Bowl, it might have been a little bit different.
Yeah, and it's, you know, once again, I'm never going to knock those kids for doing it. Their future is the most important thing. Jake Butt is a great example of what happens sometimes, and I know it's freak accident, but that's a guy who's going to be an NFL player. And I still think he's had a nice, okay NFL career, but, you know, tearing an ACL going into a draft is not a great position to be in. I will say this. I'm a massive Matt Corral fan. I think he was known as kind of the wild card, big armed kid and, you know, all the talent in the world. But I will say this, and I think the Tennessee game is a good example this year. The kid will do whatever it takes to win, like whatever it takes to win. And I thought they ran him way too much in that game. He was clearly not operating at even close to 100% as that game continued, stuck it out. And I think that's what you're talking about. Like, he is one of the people, and for everything I've seen at Ole Miss, from Ole Miss fans and just kind of people, you know, on Twitter that I follow that are fans of the program, that he is beloved. I mean, he's absolutely beloved because of that leadership and because he does not seem to be – he does have a little bit of a cocky streak, sure, whatever, confidence streak, but, like, it also always does seem to come back to the team. Like, this is not a guy who's out there on an island by his own. This is about the group. It's about the collective.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, but I think the Tennessee game at the end of it is kind of what cost Matt Corral the Heisman.
Yeah.
When he got hurt because the next 3 or 4 weeks, he wasn't quite 100%. Everybody was allowed to pass him in the ranks. So that probably cost him the major award by him going completely all out and giving absolutely every grain that he had against Tennessee. And it was needed. That game was needed.
Yeah.
And it was something, it was a huge win. But the important thing, whenever he kind of got hurt, whenever that happened, is you saw the emergence of the Ole Miss defense.
Mm.
And I think Ole Miss gave up over 20 points like one time for the rest of the season or something like that. And those guys building up, and you saw a team start to really gel together. Now, I'd hate to know, or I'd love to know, actually, what this team would look like if Matt Corral would not have gotten hurt against Tennessee, because if that defense improved, I mean, you're looking at probably, you know, 11-1, because they wouldn't have lost to Auburn. They heck, they had five trips in the red zone anyway.
That Auburn game was one of those where you're like, Lane, take, because in the end of the game, I mean, they would have been within one score if they'd kicked the field goals when they needed to, right? And that was one of those where it's like, I understand. We all get the analytics, man. We get it. But like, at some point in time, you know, and at that point, we're all under operating the assumption that your quarterback's not 110%. Like, take the freaking points, man. Just take them. Yeah. They're giving them. Just take them.
He got carted to the locker room.
I mean,
it's crazy. But if there's a chance, Ole Miss should have won that game. The analytics, and I always joke with people, Lane has a couple of games a year, and he did it with Alabama and Auburn this year, where he plays the game like a 12-year-old playing Madden.
Right.
That's just going to happen. And, yeah, I mean, it was one of those things. It is what it is. You take the good with the bad.
Right. Yeah, with Lane Kiffin, you do. And on the opposite side, you know, just get a little bit here about Baylor. What a season from Dave Aranda. They go 2-7 his first year at Baylor. And I always say this, he is one of the most introspective coaches, if not the most introspective coach in all of college football. He was very harsh on himself about the staff that he brought in, made changes. Larry Fedora out. They bring in Jeff Grimes from BYU. They bring in Eric Mateos, the offensive line coach. Their offensive line was one of the worst in all of college football in 2020. In 2021, it was one of the top 25 there towards the end of the season. Do they have top 25 offensive line talent? Probably not. They performed that way. Yes, they did. They got steady quarterback play all the year. Their defense, and I'll stick by this, the best game that Baylor played all year was the game against Oklahoma, where, and I think, you know, there's a chance that maybe this game plays out that way because of how good of a coach Dave Aranda is. But a week after getting torched by Chandler Morris, back quarterback from TCU, he goes for 500 yards. They respond by going up against Oklahoma and the presumptive Heisman favorite at the end of the year in Spencer Rattler, and also a midseason kind of weirdly Heisman contender in Caleb Williams, and they beat the brakes off them. They could not get anything going on offense, and they made life miserable for them. And that just shows you that this team bought in. He really did make the changes he needed to make. They had Abram Smith, who was a converted linebacker at running back for them and was one of the best running backs in the entire Big 12 conference, a conference that is deep at running back. Every single team in the Big 12 conference has good running backs. And so for them to get to these heights this year and to achieve what they did was a testament to Dave Aranda. It was a testament to the team buying in and the changes that he had made. So I think that is where I look at this game and I say, these are two teams that are great stories, right? This is an Oklahoma State. And congratulations to them for making a New Year's Six, but Notre Dame and Oklahoma State were both teams that had a potential shot at the college football playoff, and they're outside looking in. These are two teams right here that really did accomplish, like, they reached about all they could this year. I mean, you know, I know you said, yeah, Ole Miss could go on 11-1, but, you know, kind of in the end, like 10-2, I mean, that is, if you look at the roster and look what they had coming into the season, 10-2 is a maximization of talent for Ole Miss. And I would say, you know, Baylor going, what was it, 10-11-2, whatever it was, is a maximization talent for them also.
Yeah. Like I said, this is one of those games that's going to be a lot of fun because Ole Miss is in the role of the traditional Big 12 team. Baylor is in the role of the traditional SEC team.
Right.
And I think the offensive line coach from Les Miles, there's it's kind of like you talked about Dave Aranda. They just kind of leaned into that LSU from 2013 when he first got there and started building that, as opposed to the chaos of trying to create the 2019 LSU team, because I think that's what he was trying to do in 2020 last year. But you can see them just – it's really cool. It just really is. I like Dave Aranda. I think he was the heart behind that 2019 LSU team.
People don't talk about the defense enough. That defense had to be good enough to win, and they were top 30, and they played awesome towards the back end of the season. And they basically did their job. Like, they, you know, they didn't have to do everything, but he coached a championship-level defense, and that's not one of the best defenses that LSU's ever had.
No, because LSU's still trying to figure out play volume, because that's the first year they really did tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so Dave Aranda had to figure that out as well. And it was a phenomenal job by Aranda.
Yeah. And so in this game, Baylor, 1-point favorites, This game is on New Year's Day. I believe it is at 8:45 Eastern time is the start time. So 7:45 for all of you Central folks out there. And I think from what I can tell, I'm not sure how many opt-outs Baylor has in this game, but I think the spread is interesting with, you know, just being at 1 point. Vegas seems to think this game is pretty much a toss-up. And I do believe it's kind of this high-powered offense going up against a month or whatever, however long it was, you know, nearly a month and dozen plus practices of Baylor being able to say, all right, what are we going to do to shut down Matt Corral? What are we going to do to shut down? Because this Ole Miss offense, to me, while it is high-powered, it doesn't have the horses that's had the outside. I know Drummond's been awesome, banged up during the year at some points. But, like, this is a team that I feel like the guys in the backfield are almost a little bit better than the guys they've had outside this year.
Yeah, all of the receivers and the tight end got hurt in the middle of the season.
Right. I mean,
yeah, it was the weirdest thing. So whenever they were all clicking at the beginning, they were all clicking early in the year. And you started to see them come back against Mississippi State. At the end of the year. So they'll all be back for the game. Jonathan Mingo is a big piece in that wide receiving group to go with Braylon Sanders and Dontario Drummond. Casey Kelly will be a surprise at the tight end position to pay attention to. But you're right about the backs. This team was built around Jerry and Ely, Henry Parrish, and Snoop Connor. They're just the three-headed monster back there. And people don't realize they assume Lane Kiffin and this Baylor offense, and they're like, oh, this is just throw it around the yard. This team runs 60-65% of the time. And I mean, they've led the SEC in rushing like the last 2 years. And this could be a fun game. The tempo is what Ole Miss really is going to try and do in this game. They're going to try and go really, really fast. Baylor wants this game to be 21-10. 21-14.
Yeah.
If it gets in the 30s, you start to wonder if Baylor has the horses to actually keep up. So it's going to come down to who can impose their will on the other team. Is it that low scoring game that Baylor wants, or is it a game in the 30s that Ole Miss wants?
Yeah. And let's make some picks here. So I think Ole Miss is going to win. I just think this group's, I think they do get kind of that 30 number. I think they got a lot of time. They'll be fresher. And I think they can catch the Baylor defense early. And, you know, I'm not sure if Gary Bohan should be able to play, but maybe they roll with Blake Shapen. It's going to be an open, I think it might be an open competition going into the next season. Gary did a good job this year, but Blake is, you know, pretty able, competent quarterback. We saw that in the first half of their Big 12 championship game. So, you know, they might get both guys some run in this game, but I'm going to go with Ole Miss winning this one. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rebels in this game. I think they're going to get about a touchdown. I'm thinking 31-24.
I'm kind of right in that zone as well. Steven, where can people find you and the show and all of your work and its variety?
Yes, I'm the host of the Locked On Ole Miss podcast. We're available wherever you can find podcasts. And we have a YouTube channel that is currently being built. So whenever that's up, you'll get an email. You'll get addresses on that on my Twitter. You can find me, as you see below, at the Steven Willis. And I'm still waiting for the Locked On show Twitter page as well.
You can find me at @JoshNeighbors_. You can find the show at @LOBig12. You can find Locked On Big 12 wherever you guys get your podcast and on YouTube.
Coming up, our national experts at BetQLU take over the conversation. Now for a national approach to the Sugar Bowl, national experts at BetQL, RJ Choppy and Jeffrey Wright of BetQLU break down the game from a national perspective.
All right, RJ, it is, of course, the South's answer to the granddaddy of them all. It is the Sugar Bowl, Caesars Superdome, January the 1st, late kick, 7:45. The Rebels of Ole Miss coming in with a record of 10-2. Baylor comes in the Big 12 champion at 11-2. Right now, Baylor opened up, I believe, as about a 2-point favorite. All the money thus far coming in on Ole Miss, they've now moved to a 1-point favorite. The total is at 55 points. I'm going to get the Baylor perspective from you because you're down in Texas. I spent time covering Ole Miss. My family are Ole Miss people. My wife is an Ole Miss girl. I can tell you one thing is unequivocally true about the Rebels. They care about bowl games. Yeah. They are an unbelievable care about the bowl game team. Even Hugh Freeze, he lost one bowl game in which allegedly there were football players still in the strip club at 4 a.m. for an 11 a.m. kickoff in the Peach Bowl. Other than that, Ole Miss shows up for bowl games. This is one of those situations where I'm a little uncomfortable with how much I like Ole Miss in this game, but I really like the Rebels because this is a team that they're going to get Matt Corral to play. Most of the guys have already announced that they're going to play. The last time they were in the Sugar Bowl, kind of the last big moment for Ole Miss football over the last 5-6 years, it was the Sugar Bowl in which they went all out against Oklahoma State. It's a new opponent. They typically, whenever they play the Big 12, they always play Oklahoma State, so they get Baylor this time. These two teams were actually scheduled to open the season last year, but of course with the COVID changing, the COVID pandemic, all that changing the way that schedules work and everyone just going to essentially a conference schedule, that game got moved. BetQL shows the game dead even, 26.5 to 26.5. According to betting information thus far, the tickets, 73% thus far are on Ole Miss, 74% of the tickets, 74% of the money on the Rebels. This is one of those ones that I know we've talked about, some of the trends that I look at when I try to make my decision. I think I'm ignoring it in this one because I really like Ole Miss.
You know, I have struggled, honestly, I have struggled with this game because, you know, for a long time, if you played the SEC in the Sugar Bowl, it was like going into a buzzsaw lion's den.
Yes.
Like you were going to get destroyed. That's just the way it was. Now things started to change, you know, when Utah beat Alabama and when West Virginia beat Georgia, like that's when it started to shift a little bit. But
I think so culturally, the same way that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten historically feel about the Rose Bowl, it's the way that SEC people feel about the Sugar Bowl. It was the creme de la creme for them. It was all about getting to the Sugar Bowl, get to the Sugar Bowl, get to the Sugar Bowl. And then when it started to be a situation where whoever showed up at the Sugar Bowl, it felt like a consolation prize or like a participation trophy, you started to see a lot of apathetic SEC teams. There's one team, though, I can tell you, they're not going to be apathetic to be there. Ole Miss is going to bring droves of fans. Like, they care about this game. I mean, I remember covering this team back in 2015, and they were selling shirts of the return to New Orleans, the return to the Sugar Bowl, all this. I can tell you the same sense and enthusiasm is surrounding Ole Miss right now.
Well, you know, Matt, the good thing is that, you know, Corral's playing. But is he playing? Like, is he going to run? Is he going to use his legs? He already hurt his knee this year.
And his ankle and his foot.
Yeah. And he has a unique opportunity. Like, there is no clear-cut number one pick from a quarterback perspective in the draft. And I still refuse to believe that any team is going to be dumb enough to take any position of a quarterback at number one in the year 2021 that we sit in. And it'll be 2022, I guess. Like, it just makes no salary cap sense to take any position but quarterback number one. So he's got a chance to be the number one pick, whether he deserves it or not. Like, is he going to sit there and be running all over the field? I don't know. I'll say this about Baylor. Baylor is, like, they're a good team. They had no business being a top 10 team this year. Look what they were last year, right? They had no business doing that.
The conversation surrounding Baylor last year was, is Dave Aranda a coordinator, not a head coach? A defensive-minded coach that gets a head job, and the job looked to be too big for him. Give him all the credit in the world. Made the necessary staff changes that he did. And, you know, even in their two losses this year, they really, really choked that TCU game away.
Yep.
But there was no shame going into Stillwater and losing.
No, none. No shame at all. They're a good football team. They're a well-coached team. And they're going to try because this is a big game for Baylor. You know, Baylor's other big games have come like, oh, they made the Cotton Bowl. You know, it's like right up the road from Waco. It's an hour away. No, this is like, you know, they don't go to the Sugar Bowl. Baylor doesn't go to the Sugar Bowl like ever. So this is a big game for them. And Dave Aranda strikes me as the guy who does not half-ass anything. The dude's in shape, man. He's a college coach. They don't have to be in shape. That dude, like, lives in the gym. Okay, he's got, like, that translucent thin skin that you tell, like, just the guys who just sit there and just work out all day, right? Like, you know those
work
guys.
Out and work out and watch film.
Work out, watch film, crushes 3 gallons of water a day. Like, that to me is Dave Aranda, right? Like, everything is 100%.
He carries the milk jug of water.
He does. He absolutely does. I do too. It doesn't work for me, though. It just does nothing for me. But I still carry it because I want to look the part. And I'm not. But Dave Aranda
is all about
not
the intent.
It's 100%. You know, you fake it as much as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
But Dave Aranda is the guy that doesn't, you know, he doesn't give things away. This is going to be a dude who is going to get his team hyped for this game. I do not think this is the one non-Final Four game that I think you can guarantee that both teams will play for. Like, this is it. This is that game. Both teams will come to play in this one.
No, I think to me, actually, one of the more interesting questions is, what does Baylor do at quarterback? Because I think, actually, like, when we talk about it with Corral, I think a normal human being would treat this exactly like you and I are, which is, hey, man, like, at worst, I'm going to probably be the second quarterback taken. Let's make sure we get to pro day healthy and I can put on the show, whatnot. This kid only has one speed, man. Like, he is the guy that if he's on the field, like, they had to preach to this kid, you have to learn to slide. You have to learn to slide. This is a kid that played baseball. Like, so he knew how to slide. Like, it was just, that's just the way that he's wired. But the thing that's more interesting to me is I really love Blake Shapen, the young freshman that was one of the best high school baseball players. They get him out of Louisiana. Could be some home game vibes here. You never know. I love a good home game vibe for a guy returning to his home state to play in the big bowl game. Or do they go with Gary Bohannon? Because I actually think the best way to attack Ole Miss is probably more with Shapen. And they play more coverage than they do, because they operate with a whole bend, don't break. With Bohannon, it feels like Baylor wants to try to line up and run right at you. Ole Miss has proven to be pretty good at stopping that for the most part this year, or at least getting you into the red zone and having to kick field goals. I think, though, with Shapen, it might open things up a little bit more, and that might be the best way to attack their defense.
You know, if you can get a guy with a cannon for an arm, that's never a bad thing when it comes to football at the quarterback position.
Especially if he knows where he's throwing it.
Yeah, right. I mean, seriously, that is huge. I mean, you don't want that Joe Milton who throws just majestic incompletions. They are some of the best incompletions that you'll ever see. But they're in the third row. You don't want that. You don't want that. But you do want, you know.
No, Chris Leak used to throw that really pretty high spin rate incompletion. Yeah. Joe Milton throws like the powerful, like, oh my God, that guy has a cannon. Yeah. And then you realize it was 15 yards from whoever he was trying to throw to.
It's literally like he's at the combine on every throw.
Yes.
Just trying to show the scouts how hard this guy could throw it. And it's a treat to watch. And especially if you're a fan lucky enough to catch the ball in the 11th row, you get to keep that football maybe. But yeah, I agree. I mean, Shapen brings a unique aspect to this game. I mean, you saw what he did in that Big 12 title game where he was completing pass after pass after pass. And that just doesn't happen. That never happens. And it was impressive to watch.
Another aspect about this game, the point total right now is currently sitting at 55. You wouldn't think it with Lane Kiffin. However, his team, especially in conference play, was a remarkable under team. In 12 games this year, the under hit in 9 of them. For Baylor, on the flip side, in 13 games this year, the under hit 7 times. So 7 out of 6 on the over, or 7 out of 13 for Baylor, 9 out of 12 for Ole Miss. Again, currently right now, Baylor getting a point. Right now, about 74% of the money and 73% of the tickets are thus far on Ole Miss. 97% of the money so far is on the over. He's RJ Choppy. I'm Jeffrey Wright. Thus concludes the Sugar Bowl preview.
Well, there's everything you need to know about the Sugar Bowl. Thank you for tuning in to the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview. On Monday, we will preview the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl, right here on the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.